let's welcome Eric Coleman, former NFL safety and current SiriusXM
analyst,
to 60 Minute Overtime to take a more in-depth look at the Falcons-Seahawks game. So, Eric, as a former Falcon, I'm sure you had a little extra interest in last night's game, no?
Oh, yeah, I was very excited for the game. You know, I'm from Washington State, so most of my friends are Seahawks fans, and, you know, they don't realize my alliance to the Falcons. You know, I played three very good years. I love the organization. So, and Matt Ryan was my quarterback, so I put together a great win. It was definitely exciting. You can feel the energy from even at home.
You were also a Detroit Lion and started with our hometown New York Jets, and that's how I always think of you. But you were number 26 on the Falcons, and there's a guy, Trevin Coleman, who's the running back, the current running back, also 26. Same last name. Is that weird?
It's very weird. You know, I watch him play, and you know he's a little bit bigger than I was. You know, we both have similar builds. He's a little bigger, but it's very confusing sometimes. And you know, every once in a while, my wife will get confused, or you know, a fan will send me a picture of him and say that thinking that it's me or something like that. So I'm sure he gets that a lot. But he really does a phenomenal job of running the football, getting north and south, and he really making a name for himself.
Now, there's no relation, right?
Not that I know of. You know, I'm sure down the line we're probably related, but not that I know of. I don't know him personally.
Okay, so let's get into it. So last night, the Seahawks, they score early. The Falcons show no panic. What's the word on the sideline when something like this happens, if you're the Falcons?
Well, you just have to keep your composure. You know, you took their best shot. You know that going into the week, the offensive coordinator usually puts down a 15-play opening drive, you know, where you know they have the plays called no matter what is going on, based on the scheme of your defense, based on your tendencies and what you've done, they create the 15 best plays for their offense. And you know, the Seahawks went down, I believe it was 14 plays, took 8 minutes off the clock, did a great job of driving down the field and scoring a touchdown. Kyle Shanahan put together a great game plan as well, you know, because they went 12 plays, you know, with 7 minutes right down the field. You know, Matt Ryan just really showed his composure. You know, they call Matty Ice for a reason. You know, he has ice water in his veins, and he stays composed in pressure situations, and really did a great job yesterday of distributing the ball to all of his playmakers and running his offense.
Now, you talked a little bit about the scheming and stuff. There was no panic, and it resulted in a nicely drawn-up touchdown throw to Julio Jones. It was beautiful, actually. So he had Richard Sherman's number all night long, basically. And how were the Falcons able to attack him so successfully, being the great player that he is?
Well, you know, what people have to realize is the Seahawks play a lot of zone defense. So although Richard Sherman may have been the guy tackling Julio Jones, he may not have been playing man-to-man coverage on him.
Right.
But Shanahan did a good job of putting Julio in stacked position, meaning that there's a receiver right in front of him, and Julio Jones lined up behind the receiver, so it didn't allow Richard Sherman to get his hands on him.
Right.
So that put him at an advantage right away. And, you know, I thought it was a great game plan by Shanahan. Matt Ryan did a good job of finding him. I thought that touchdown that he caught was a penalty, but, you know, if they don't call it, then it's no penalty.
The pick play,
and
right?
I thought it was ultimately a good play call.
Yeah, that pick play, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, Mohamed Sanu was blocking the corner before the ball was even in the air. So, you know, that's offensive pass interference.
Yeah. So, you know, so much has been talked about Matt Ryan, his offense, but the Falcons had in the first half, I was watching, some major defensive stops. I mean, they held the Seahawks to a field goal. They sacked the quarterback for a safety. And what does that do to the psyche of an offense when something like that happens in quick succession?
I mean, you know, to the defense, it just gives you a bunch of confidence, you know, and you bounce and you play off one another on offense and defense. When you see your offense driving down the field with confidence, it gives you as a defense that confidence that all we have to do is get the ball back to our offense and they're going to put up points. But, you know, I think after that first drive, Atlanta's defense kind of calmed down. You know, they thought to themselves, you know, we're not going to give up any big plays. We're going to stop the run and we're going to get off the field. And they did a great job. I thought Jonathan Babineau did a great job of getting penetration up the middle. The linebackers did a fairly good job in coverage. And the secondary was lights out. The safety play was great by Atlanta. And it just an overall team effort by the Falcons.
Now, would you say that the turning point of the game would be when Wilson tripped for the safety?
Yeah, that definitely took some of the wind out of Seattle's sails.
Yeah.
You know, I actually thought that when Devin Hester had the big punt return,
yep,
that got called back. You know, he returned it inside the 10-yard line, mm-hmm. and with the hold, you know, the Seahawks get the ball back inside their own 10. Mm-hmm. So that was tough. You know, that kind of took the wind out of their sails. They had some momentum going. And in the playoffs, you have to make big plays on special teams. You have to get a turnover, something to change the flow of the game, especially against an offense as good as the Falcons.
Right. Now, actually, that hold led to about 5 points, if you look at it, because it led to the safety, and then it led to the field goal on the kickoff after the safety. So that was a huge holding call.
Yeah, and it was totally unnecessary as well. You know, it was at the beginning of the play. Yep. Really unfortunate.
Now, running back Devontae Freeman led the Falcons in receiving, believe it or not. He had 4 receptions for 80 yards. Was the Seahawks defense caught unprepared for him in that capacity?
Well, I don't think they were unprepared. You know, I just think that he creates such a tough matchup. And you have to remember, Earl Thomas isn't back there. You know, typically Earl Thomas is there, and he's getting Freeman down. You know, for probably a 12-yard gain instead of the explosive play that he got when he hit that angle route when he was lined up against Cliff Averill. So I think Atlanta did a good job of taking advantage of the scheme. You know, they caught the Seahawks in his own blitz. Cliff Averill was covering Devontae Freeman in the open field, and, you know, that's a mismatch. I'm sure they'll take every play.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, just because he's a local guy, what is Rutgers product Mohamed Sanu added to the Falcons offense?
Well, I mean, he's obviously big. He's strong. He does a great job of blocking in the run game. But he's a big target. You know, he makes it so to where Matt Ryan is able to balance the offense. You know, yes, of course, you're going to double team Julio Jones, but Mohamed Sanu can make you pay as well on the other side. So he just gives the offense some more versatility, some toughness, and just a lot of attitude that he brings to the offense.
Now, the Falcons are averaging 33.8 points per game. They scored 36 last night. How can anyone moving forward stop this explosive offense?
Well, I think the Seahawks had it right in the first drive. You know, they ran the football.
Right.
You know, you have to keep the ball out of their hands. You know, try to limit the explosive plays that they make. Run the ball, keep it out of their hands, and try to control it that way. You're going to have to get a turnover, a big play on special teams to try to top Atlanta, because, I mean, the way they're putting up points, it's going to be whoever team has the ball last kind of situation if you're able to score on offense. So you're going to have to find a way other than offense to put points on the board.
Now, moving forward, we got to watch the games today, but moving forward, the Falcons will either get the Packers or the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Could you break down which would be a better matchup, like personnel-wise, for the Falcons?
Oh, a better matchup for the Falcons?
Yeah.
I would have to say it would be the Packers.
Yeah,
you know, Matt Ryan's able to put up points.
Yep.
You know, with Aaron Rodgers, the Cowboys just create a tough matchup for anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, with the size and strength of their offensive line running the football, I mean, they can do exactly what I just said to the Falcons. They can run the ball. They can methodically make drives and keep the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands, and that's the true way to stop him. Defensively, I think they have, you know, some good players in the secondary. I think Orlando Scandrick is playing good football in the slot. And, you know, they created some tough matchups. So I think if you're the Falcons, you want to play the Green Bay Packers. Although Aaron Rodgers is hot, although, you know, in 2011, he did come through and scorch us when I played in Atlanta, en route to the Super Bowl. But I think that it would give the Atlanta Falcons confidence because they'd be playing at home as well. That's a huge advantage for them.
Of course. And that's a huge – what is it like playing in that facility as a home field advantage?
Oh, it was great. You know, the Georgia Dome, you know, in the playoff atmosphere, it gets rowdy. You know, the crowd is participating. They do a great job of really getting involved in the game and creating an advantage for the defense. And you know, it's definitely an advantage when the offense, the team that you're playing, their offense can't communicate to each other and forces them to make hand signals and just get out of their comfort zone. It really helps.
Right. Now, you know, a lot of it has been talked about. I just thought of this question. Playoff time versus regular time. How does, like, the environment of the team change when they do enter what's considered playoff time?
I mean, the intensity just really steps up. You know, it's an even bigger jump from preseason to regular season. I mean, every play counts. Every single yard counts. So you're fighting for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's watching. You know, it's – I mean, I wish words could describe the environment. You know, it's just so intense. You know, everything counts. And, you know, if you give up a big play, you lose that game. then you're going home. So it's definitely a tough situation.
Now, leading up to it, too, practices are intensified, meetings, everybody's paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need for pep talks when the playoffs come.
Right.
You know, our practice, you know, still isn't as intense, you know, because it's the end of the season. It's been such a long year.
Right.
But mentally, when you're preparing, you know, everyone's locked in. They're focused. They're watching extra film. They're looking for tendencies. They're trying to get that edge to make that play that helps their team win and advance to the next round.
Now, and final question here. In his sixth consecutive season with 4,000-plus yards, is Matt Ryan the NFL's MVP?
I believe so. You know, he put together a phenomenal year. I mean, during the regular season, he threw touchdowns to 13 different receivers.
Yeah,
you don't see quarterbacks doing that. You know, usually they lean on one or two guys.
Yeah.
But he's just done a fantastic job of running that offense. He's been efficient with the football, not throwing any interceptions. And you know, I really think that he sealed his case as MVP last night.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's actually. I looked him up, a little more information about him. We share the same birthday, so now I'm definitely rooting for him.
All right. He's a great guy. He does a lot of great things in the community. Very good person. You know, humble as they come, and just really a great teammate.
Yeah, I like him even more now. So, Eric, where can people hear, see, find you, and contact you? And go ahead, shout out all your stuff.
All right. Well, I'll be on Sirius XM NFL Radio. This Sunday from noon to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Also, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Eric Coleman. That's Eric with a K, Eric Coleman. I'm on SNY, cover the Jets, you know, during the season, and just trying to continue to grow as a broadcaster, yourself.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the Jets at a different time. That's going to be a whole different conversation.
Yeah, we need a whole show for that
one. Exactly. All right, Eric, I thank you for coming on. I know you're busy today, and I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.